Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not saying that I'm excited. Tonight's going to be a little bit different than what's the norm. And I want to discuss some things. We got a lot of things going on. in the world right now. We've been having things going on in the world. It just seems like right now they're visible with technology, and you know, we got social media that's live. We got technology that could bring events straight into your living room. I mean, you know, that goes beyond the TV, you know. And so there's a lot going on. We have COVID-19. Now, I'm going to say something as I begin to share all the things that's going on that would cause fear, worry, and doubt. I'm going to list, you know, we got COVID-19 going on. We have people that have family members who are dying or who are sick from the what they're being told is COVID-19. Around COVID-19, we have many theories of what the truth is, what's really the truth, what's killing people. We have, almost to the point of it seems like every 2 weeks we have a black man being murdered by either by law enforcement or by those who want to act as law enforcement. So there is a lot going on, and I would be remiss if I sat up here and said that I'm not bothered. I would be remiss if I said that I had no emotions towards what's going on. I actually was sent the video of George Floyd. If you are unaware, it'd be hard for you to be unaware of what's going on unless you absolutely positively don't watch TV and or do anything that have to do with the internet or social media. So for those of you who do not watch TV or have anything to do with social media or the internet, George Floyd is a gentleman who was killed over Memorial Day. He was the video, somebody set and videotaped it in its entirety. And this young man, I can't say young man, he's probably my age, I don't know. But he apparently, and everything I'm saying is, you know, I don't have the, I only know what I've seen. So I don't know the whole, all the truths. The only truth I do know is that he was killed right in front of me, right on camera. And he apparently was in a store trying to cash a check or write a check. And the store agent or whoever it was felt like he was maybe writing a bad check and decided they would call the police on him. The police came. The police arrested him. I'm sure that he argued the fact of why he was being arrested, especially if he was innocent, then it would make sense that he would argue the fact of why he's been arrested. You know, he's not going to just be quiet if he's been taken into custody and not understanding why. You want to know why. Why am I being arrested? And as a result, the officer threw him to the ground and pinned his knee into the man's neck. And I'm sure he was putting his entire weight of pressure. And the reason I say that is because watching the video, the street was dry, and then all of a sudden you could see fluid coming from up under the ground, which would tell me is that this young man had begun to start losing his fluid as he was begging for his life, as he was saying, I can't breathe, as he was saying, give me a glass of water, as he was calling out for his mother, you know. So it wasn't a, you know, and I'm not saying any murder is justified. I don't think that there is a reason for law enforcement, unless somebody pulls out a gun and fires that gun at law. I don't see a reason why death is involved. I don't see a reason why. Now you're gonna hear Coach D, my humanity right now. I don't see a reason how somebody could walk into a church, shoot up the whole church, and be able to be taken into custody without no problem. I don't see how somebody could walk into a school and shoot up a school and be able to be walked out of the school and taken into custody with no problem. See, there's not a balance here. It's unbalanced. And I believe that, see, what we don't understand is that there's an imbalance going on. And we understand that that's what people are angry about. They're angry. Yeah, black on black crime is there, but black on black crime is no higher than white on white crime or Hispanic on Hispanic crime. People within their own races are feuding and they're killing each other. So, but we want to always focus on black crime. But it ain't just black on black crime. You got white on white crime. You got white men that's killing their white wives. You got white wives who's killing their white children. So you got white on white crime, just like you have black on black crime. What the thing is here is not about it's not about domestic violence. It's not about what's going on in the black community among the black people. What's the problem here is how do you justify the law that's supposed to serve and protect coming into those communities and committing murder? How do you justify that? You can't justify that. So anyway, tonight's show, I really want, and I'm going to ask people, if you're listening in, please don't make this show about, let me just listen and see what Coach B is talking about. Please don't make this show about, let me just see what she's talking about because, I don't have nothing to say. I just want to listen. I don't have nothing to talk about on tonight. I'm trying to hear from fellow believers, other leaders, or just men and women of God, people that's trying to serve God, people that are believers. I want to hear from you too, because I know I can't be the only one that's feeling some kind of way with everything that's going on. And when I think about, I just did a show 2 weeks ago about Ahmaud in Georgia getting killed by the father and the son. I just did a show, and I'm encouraging my people, hang in there, that, God is in control. He is in control. God is able to do anything. God, it says, but everything in the Word of God, when I started reading scripture, because I'm like, Lord, help me, because I have to be able to speak. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian first. I'm a spiritual being. I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. So as a spiritual being, I understand that we're in warfare. I understand that this fight is not carnal, that we're in spiritual warfare. I understand that there's demonic attacks. I understand that as a spiritual being, as a believer in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I understand that. But I'm a spiritual being having a human experience, and as a human, I so happen to be a black woman. I'm a black mother of sons. I'm a black daughter of a father. I'm a black sister of brothers. I'm a black aunt to nephews. I'm a black cousin to male cousins. You see what I'm saying? So all around me is the black male. And so I can't help but be affected. I can't help but be hurt. I can't help but be crushed when I look around me and I see the black male being destroyed, being murdered, whether it be black on black crime or whatever, they being murdered. They're discouraged. This world hasn't been kind to our black men, and I want to give it up to the black men on tonight. You're kings. You're kings, and you're children of the king. And you're going to have to submit to your king. You're going to have to, because you know why? Because that's going to be the only thing that could protect you. Because the world around you is not nice. You're not in his favor. You don't have favor with the world. I'm sorry. The world is out to annihilate you. Now, we got black people that's living great lives. They are, but I'm just saying, I don't know, what am I saying? I'm saying that I've seen something this week that hurt me. I seen something the week before that hurt me. I keep seeing stuff each week that's hurting me, hurting my humanity. And I'm trying to stay in the spirit because the word of God says, walk in the spirit so that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm not trying to go in the flesh, but it's hard. I have what I call a righteous anger. What do you mean, Coach D? Righteous anger never has anything to do with me. I'm saying I hurt, not because somebody did something to me, but my anger is because other people are not being treated justly. My anger is because other people are being mistreated. So that's what the Bible refers to as a righteous anger. It says, be angry and sin not. So I'm trying not to allow that anger, that emotion of anger, to cause me to sin. Causing me to sin is when I come out of who Christ has called me to be, and then I begin to be something else. And so I begin to respond, and I begin to act, and I begin to act on those thoughts, those feelings, those emotions that, you know, that are coming upon me. You know, when I see people being treated unjustly, when I see somebody just flat out being murdered, you know, you can't, that death where there's been many, but that death, you can't, that was like a hanging. You can't, you know, a gun shoots off and you can say, oh, in the heat of the moment, my life felt threatened. I didn't know what to do and I shot. Still may not be justifiable, but it was in a moment. You can shoot a gun in a moment and kill somebody. But when you pin somebody down and you put your knee in their neck and they're pleading for 8, 7, 10 minutes, they're pleading with you that they can't breathe. They're pleading with you that they need water. They're calling on their deceased mother. You can see the body fluid coming out of their body as they're slowly dying. There, you know, he had fluid coming out of him, not just out of his nose and mouth, but I could see up under the car where his fluids were starting to drain down into the drain, towards the drain. So you sat there for however many minutes, 7, 8, 10, and you sat there and you watched patiently this man die, and you had the ability to free him. So with that being said, as you can hear, there's a lot of emotions, there's a lot of passion, and I'm sure some people don't want to be on this particular subject, and that's okay. This is a different show than we normally have. So what I want to open up the lines, and I want people to just kind of share, because I know I can't be the only believer, the only Christian, the only follower of Christ that's feeling some kind of way in this time. Then when we talk about COVID, we're talking about people dying. You know, a lot of people are dying, quote, from COVID-19 or coronavirus, unquote. And why I say unquote, quote, and unquote is because that's what we're being told. We're being told that people are being diagnosed with coronavirus. We're being told that people are dying from coronavirus. And so that's what we're being told. So some people feel like that's because, well, that's what I'm being told. That's what it is. I believe what you tell me. And I'm just not that person. I don't believe everything that I'm being told. So I've heard theories, and some of the theories sound great to me. And some of them could just be conspiracy theories, or some may not. Some could be the truth. But the theory on that is, and they go, that's not even a theory, it's a fact. When they go through the numbers and they're trying to determine how many people are dying in different communities, and when they start doing the statistics, it is, again, the old, good, faithful black community that's being affected the most by the coronavirus. So if coronavirus ain't killing us, then we got cops killing us. And then if cops ain't killing us, then we got wannabe cops that's killing us. Neighborhood Watch that's killing us. And if Neighborhood Watch is not killing us, then we killing each other. Do we get a break on any end? So again, I'm gonna open up the lines. If you have something you want to comment on this subject I'm talking about tonight, because to be honest on tonight, if you have something to say, dial 1 on your dial pad. We'll open up the lines. If you don't have something to say, the show won't even go through the rest of the night. I apologize to those who are faithful, who listen in to Processing the Pain every week faithfully. And I want to just apologize ahead of time. I want to apologize, but not really, if that makes any sense. Tonight is not a typical show. But one of the things that I will say that's been consistent with my show even tonight is Coach D's transparency. See, I don't have a problem to say when I'm missing the mark. I don't have a problem to say when I'm not getting it. I don't have a problem to say my feelings are hurt. I don't have a problem to say this is how I feel about something, even when it goes against the grain, even when it's not what I'm supposed to say as an ordained minister of God. See, I don't have a problem with that. And so the one thing about tonight's show, though it's not consistent to some of my shows where I'm really bringing forth the word, tonight is just I'm just going by what's in my heart. And what's in my heart is we can't continue to just sit back and not do anything. What's in my heart is that I'm challenging. If you're listening in to this program on tonight, I'm challenging the evangelicals. I'm challenging the white churches. I'm challenging the Hispanic churches. I'm challenging the Asian churches. I'm challenging any churches that say that they are born-again believers. I'm challenging any churches that say that they are, that they've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and they believe that he's God's only Son, and that God sent him for our sins. I'm challenging anybody, because you cannot sit up and say you're a born-again believer, you're a child of God, and see injustice on any race. On any race. When Hitler was killing the off the Jews, how could you sit up there, even as a black person, and watch these Jews go through what they went through and not want to stand up, that not want to help some kind of way to help them? You know, same thing. So I'm just saying, this is not just about, it's about human beings that are being targeted and that are being murdered. And how can the church, black, white, brown, yellow, red, how can you sit back and not stand? Because, see, there's power in numbers. And we have millions of Christians. We have millions of Christians. So we have millions of Christians who's reading the same Bible. It ain't but one truth. And we're all reading the same Bible. We're saying we're serving the same God. How can these millions of people that's born again believers see this injustice and not stand with their black brothers and sisters in Christ? And if we don't start pushing to hold people accountable, the church, first and foremost, the church has failed the black community. NAACP has failed the black community. The Black Coalition has failed the black community. Why? Because those organizations were supposed to be the ones that put laws and legislation. They were supposed to go and put stuff in place that protected, that gave us our rights, that made us part of the Constitution. They were supposed to do that, and it's not being done. If police feel like they could go and kill people, particularly black people, and they could just get off or get suspended or get let go and still get their pension, that they don't do a day in prison, if this became a capital murder where they were starting to get life in prison without parole, how many of them you think would start thinking before they just went trigger happy? Or how many of them you think would continue to exert their power over people that's hurting people? if people could start, and not only the one who did the murder, but what about if the law was such that not only is he going to prison without parole, but his partners who stood there are going to prison without parole? What do you think will start happening? You think it'll be more cover up? Or do you think people start thinking, I ain't going to prison for nobody? I'm getting ready to start singing. I don't know. Again, if you have a comment on this subject on tonight, dial one. Let's hear what you all have to say on tonight. Okay, so nobody has anything to say on tonight. It's 9:25. Oh, we do have someone. Just one second. Caller, area code 310, last 4-0571. You are live on Processing the Pain.
Thank you, Coasties. I do have a lot to say about it. And first of all, I want to say that I feel your passion. And I think your passion is equal as mine, because I'm outraged and I am a Christian. And I just feel that what's going on in these days at this time with the virus and all these incidents that keeps happening. First, it was the woman in Central Park, Miss Karen, who just falsely, bluntly, with no remorse, accused a man of doing something that he didn't do. And then we see the police. Just kill someone right in front of our eyes. And had it not been for those people who recorded this, it would have been missed. I mean, it would have. We would never known what happened. Would have never known. But I'm just glad that you know, they had wisdom enough to record it and document this, and so people can see what actually goes on in the neighborhood, in the communities of minorities. It's just heartbreaking. It's just heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking, and it's not, you know, at the rate it's going, it's going with great frequency. I can't say that it hasn't never been great frequency, simply because we didn't have the technology that allows us to see what's really going on. But for us to see it, see, there's a difference when you hear about something. There's another difference when
right.
you see it. When you see it happening right
Amen.
In front of you. I don't know if I was talking to a friend of mine, and they were saying, you know, that if the truth be told, we're hypocrites. And I'm not sure if, woman of God, I'm going to, I'm going to have you mute yourself, because I don't want to mute you in case you have something else to say, but I'm going to have you mute yourself, and then when you get ready to talk again, just unmute yourself. Okay, great. I was talking to a friend, and he was saying that we, you know, if the truth be told, we're hypocrites because we don't get in this kind of rage when it's black on black crime. And I get where he was saying. However, what it reminds me of is me and my brother. One of my brothers. We're 14 months apart. We're really, really close. Even as, I mean, from time we were, you know, babies, I'm older than him by 14 months. And what it reminded me of is this. Me and him would fight like cats and dogs. I mean, I would beat him up, jump on him, whatever. We would fight like cats and dogs. But could somebody else fight him? Because somebody else fighting him, they were going to have to fight me too. You know what I'm saying? Even my own mom. I would fight with him, but when she got ready to spank him, oh, I was angry at her. How dare you spank my brother? The point I'm making in this is that it's, you know, it's kind of almost like the N-word, okay? You know, where that's a kind of a, rather, you know, many find it totally disrespectful no matter who say it, but it's a common language that's spoken in black communities. It's an understanding. That's, you know, that's the way they talk. You know, it's kind of a term of endearment. no matter what everybody else think about how negative the word is, it's known in the black community. Some, you know, one of your homeboys or your homegirls, your friends, people you grew up with, your loved ones, your family gonna be, they're gonna drop the inbound, the N bomb. We know that. That's just common language. But somebody else of a different race can't walk into that community and drop that same word. Is it a double standard? I don't think it's a double standard. I think we come from, we're a tribe. We're a tribe, and we understand one another. We know each other, even when we don't agree. I don't agree with my brothers and sisters when I'm talking about culture or race. I don't agree with everything they do. They anger me sometimes. They do some things that just cause my blood to boil. You know, they do some ignorant things at times. Sometimes I don't understand why they don't get it and why they don't do this like that. And how come they don't do this? And I get angry at them. But these are my brothers and sisters. Get it? So somebody else can't come up and tell me how trifling my brothers and sisters are. You can't come from a different culture, a different race. You don't even know the plight of a black community. You on the outside looking in, and you want to know why they so angry? I would have been one of the ones. They're rioting. And I would have been under no. I can remember. Now, I was a hypocrite because I can remember a time where I would look at them rioting and say, they're so stupid. Why are they tearing up their own community? Why are they doing this? They are dumb. Oh, my God. Black people just. I would have been one of those people. But today, is it an effective approach? Absolutely not. Will it accomplish anything? Absolutely not. But do I understand what's going on? Absolutely. What's going on is that when you continuously, things continuously get happen and you become angry, you become discouraged, you become hopeless, you become overwhelmed, you become frustrated, fear, the fear of if I walk, if I go somewhere, if I do something, if I do this, am I going to get killed? Who knows, I'm going to get pulled over. Am I going to get arrested? Come on now. Everybody that's getting stopped is not resisting. Let's talk about the young man. I can't think of his name. And him and his girlfriend and their child was in the car. And the police came up just asking questions. They were doing everything they were asked. And he still got shot. No resistance. Had manners. No bad talk. But he got shot. So my thing is this, how, you know, do you understand why people are rebelling? We rebel when we're angry, when we're mad. We rebel. And it doesn't make sense that we would tear up a store or loot. It absolutely doesn't make, but I get it. People are tired. And after they get tired and they get frustrated, then they begin to act out. They begin to act out. And then we're talking about people. Now, I'm trusting that everyone that's listening in on my call on tonight, I'm trusting that we're all believers, that we are all Christians. So I'm going to talk from that perspective. Now you're talking about people who may not be believers, who may not know the Lord, who may, you know, have had people like me say, you know what, just trust God. You know, just keep praying. Just keep trusting God. Just keep praying. But how can you get somebody to understand that don't even know who God is? They hear about him. He supposedly created the world, but they don't have a personal relationship with him. And if I have a personal relationship, I have no questions about my salvation. I have no questions about who I belong to. I have no questions about who my father is. And I'm angry about what's going on in the black community. I'm frustrated. And it's only by the grace of God and my relationship with God that I'm not out there acting up, just acting out. So can you imagine people that don't have that personal relationship, that don't know who God is, that don't know who Jesus is, that haven't made that decision? Or haven't been called to make that decision, So can you see how they could act out? Can you see how they could start rioting? Because for them, I want to be heard. And in their minds, this is the only way I could be heard. I'm going to have to act a fool for them to hear us. We're going to have to act a fool for them to know that we're hurting. We're going to have to act out to get the attention. And attention is, they're getting it, but that kind of attention doesn't even benefit. Well, maybe it will. I don't know. Again, if you're listening in to tonight's show, this is not a typical process in the pain show. Coach D is having transparent moments. I know I'm not the only one as a believer that's feeling the way I'm feeling. We have a caller that did share that she too is feeling the same way. But what I want, if you're listening in and you have a thought towards what's going on, I know that we got some people that's just calling in. We were talking about this recent murder. I just, again, had a show a couple of weeks ago about another murder, and these murders are beginning to happen with great frequency, and people are angry. People are hurt, you know, and then we were talking about COVID-19, at least, you know, we know that a coronavirus, we know that that's what people are being diagnosed with, that people are dying, they're being diagnosed with that. We've heard a lot of theories as it pertains to that. And again, whether they're conspiracy theories, whether it's not the truth, is the truth, it don't matter. Again, the statistics is true. And the truth of the statistics as it pertains to the coronavirus is that black people are dying at a higher rate than anybody else. Again, the black community. So every time we turn around, there's something that's plaguing the black community. If it ain't the coronavirus killing them, if it ain't the police killing them, again, I'm kind of repeating myself for those who are just coming in. We're constantly being attacked from every direction, externally and internally. Amen. So, again, if you listening in on tonight and you have a comment you want to add, you know, to this, or if maybe you got a word, you know, maybe the Lord has put something on your heart that people need to hear. People need to hear a word. I don't have a word for you tonight. I shared that. This is not a typical show. I could have got on here in 15 minutes, been off. I don't have a word for you tonight, but I have a platform. I have a platform for those who are feeling some kind of way. I have a platform for those who have a word of encouragement, a word of hope. I have a platform for those who may be able to give a little insight on what's going on. I have the platform, and I'm asking you if you have a word of hope, if you have a rhema word, if you just have a thought about what's going on. You're not alone. Some people don't want to say. Some people, you know, don't feel comfortable sharing the emotions that they're going through. You know, there's a lot of believers, leaders, that they got to be feeling some kind of way. I know I am. But they're not going to voice that because, you know, whether it's I got to stay politically correct or I don't want to give in to my emotions. But I want you leaders even that's listening in to know, guess what? There is a righteous anger. There he is, you know, and I'm angry on tonight. And again, the word of God tells us, you know, to be angry and sin not, you know, don't let the sun go down on your anger. So again, if you have a question or comment, dial 1 on your dial pad. If not, I'm not going to drag the show out on tonight, so. I just don't want to drag it out, but I didn't want to not have the show. I didn't want to not provide a platform for those who may be feeling a certain way. Even if you're not in agreement with what I'm saying, even if you feel like, whatever the case, if you believe that, you know, we are hypocrites, or if you believe as believers we need to be functioning a different way, you know, if you believe that we need to, you know, be careful of our emotions, whatever that case is, I mean, share that on tonight. There's many of us on here. I think everybody is kind of like saying, what do we do? How do we do it? Lord, how do we move forward? I mean, I'm praying. I'm definitely praying and trusting trusting the Lord at the end of every day. But it does not, you know, me understanding spiritually the warfare does not change how I'm feeling emotionally from the human side of what's going on as a black woman. It's disheartening. And it really, I could only imagine with mothers and fathers who have young men that are, you know, sons that's going away to college and that's going out into the world and becoming men. I mean, how can you not, you know, it's hard not to be concerned. I'm trying to avoid using the word fear or worry because we know that that's not of God, not the God we serve. But how can you, you know, you're going to be concerned. I mean, I'm constantly lifting my sons up in prayer. You know, I'm constantly lifting them before the Lord. I'm constantly pleading the blood of Jesus over them. I'm constantly talking to them. You know, I have a younger son, you know, everybody knows, just graduated from high school. I have these conversations with him, you know, as far, because he's seeing everything that's going on. How do you think our young men feel when they pick up their phone and they see a video of a man being murdered right before their eyes? How do you think they feel? Don't you think that would provoke some kind of fear in them? How do they view the world around them when they see that kind of stuff? How do they, you know? How do you as a mother comfort them? How do you as a mother, you know, are you able to tell them, don't worry, everything's going to be okay? Can you tell them that and believe it in your heart, what you're telling them? So again, if there's anyone listening in that have a comment, if anyone have a word of encouragement, a rhema word that maybe God shared with you in the late in the midnight hour that would just be something to at least give hope and comfort to those that's listening in or to the world as a whole in these uncertain times, please feel free to dial one on your dial pad. Okay. So with that being said, again, for my listening audience that's diligently been following me every week, I want to thank you all for your continued support. Again, I want to say, okay, we do have another caller, area code 510, last 42688. You are live on Processing the Pain.
Hey, good evening, family. It's Brother Q. I'm calling from Oakland, California.
I've
been listening to the show. Thank you, sis. I've been listening to the show, and I just wanted to chime in and just let a little bit of my heart flow freely. I like most of you, am upset around the things that I see going on, with injustices and all. I think that where it lands on me, though, is that my energies are spent. It kind of ramps me up and fires me up to even go harder for the spread of the word, for the spread of the Lord, for the Lord's word, because what I see happening is basically it's just sin, right? It's in a form of sin that touches us even more close than others, because it's our people and it's happening to us. But I know that the root of this is really just sin in the world, right? Living in a fallen world, living in a broken world, so things are going to happen.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't this, it'd be something else. And if it wasn't something else, it'd be that. It'd be something, but sin just ain't going to stop. So that's the thing. So rather than me test and do this, and because that's somebody's battle. That is somebody to go stand in that gap. That's a legitimate fight to be fought, right? We need advocates on all levels. But my battle, I think, is to go forward and spread the love of the word. Let people know to check this out. This life is temporary, right? And there's going to be some BS in this life that you, that's just going to happen regardless. Even if they fix every law and pay off every lawsuit and everybody that they know injustice no more in terms of black and white, everybody got a job and all of that, sin's going to be somewhere else. It's still going to be an issue out there. So what I'm saying is I'd rather go forward, me personally, and go out and instead of point to you, point to that, point to the law, point to the congressman, I think I would rather just kind of love on my people and those people that don't know Christ and share the good news and let people know that this is a temporary situation we in. We are headed to eternal judgment. So it's something deeper to come. So I think what I'm saying, sis, is I'm just pointing my energies toward pouring out God, toward sharing the love of the Lord, toward sharing the word with unbelievers, toward encouraging believers who, you know, getting bogged down in all of this, and just kind of helping people refocus. So I was really coming from the heart on this. I don't know if it flowed or if it came out right, if I was eloquent enough, but I hope
perfect.
You guys kind of get my heartbeat.
No, it's perfect. It's perfect. And with the back, see, this is what I'm saying. This is the platform for this. This is the platform that we need, because what you just said, this is what I'm crying for. I'm crying for people to say, we need to know. See, you just gave a word. You just gave a powerful word, and it was simplistic, but it was powerful. And why I said that is because it was a word of comfort. It was a word to remind me and to remind others who we are and who we belong to, so that we don't get caught up in it, so that we don't see color. And it's hard not to see color when you that color. But see, we can't see color. We got to see Jesus. And when you said that, what came to mind is 2 Samuel chapter 22, 3 and 4. And I'm going to read it real quick. The God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you saved me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. That, when you were saying that, that was, if they don't know, and there's nobody going out there to tell them about Jesus, then they can't, this scripture means nothing to them. Because it says, the God of my strength. First of all, we got to know that he's God, and we got to know that he's our God. And we got to know that we're children of God. And then in scripture after scripture where God is telling us, that the righteous cry out. You know, the righteous cry out and the Lord heals and delivers them. He didn't say people cry out and the Lord heals and delivers them in all their troubles. He said the righteous. So the righteousness of Christ. So what you just said, this was a reminder I needed that. I was trying to pull that out of this audience. Somebody, we need some words. We need that kind of word. Hey, you know what? I see what's going on. It's hard for me not to be taken by it. It's hard for me not to be affected. But I need to continue to go spread the gospel. I need to continue to go tell people about Jesus. I need to go continue to minister the good news so that people will have the ability to make the choice. And as they begin to make the choice, then they become the righteousness of God. And because they're the righteous, they could cry out before the Lord, and the Lord will heal them and deliver them from their trouble. That's Psalm 34:17. So, yes, my brother, thank you for that word. It was on time. It was a great word. It was very encouraging because I've been going, but I need that. We need that. We need more brothers and sisters in Christ to not to close our eyes. We can't close our eyes to what's going on. We can't ignore the fact that there are people hurting, like you said, because of sin. So I'm not saying that we ignore, but what I'm saying is that we become more sensitive that these things are going on, and we begin to battle in the spirit realm. We begin to pray. We begin to make sure that we're out there, that we're loving on people, and that we're telling people about the love of Christ and breaking people into you know, bringing people into the knowledge of Christ. Amen. Brother, did you have anything else you would want to say for anybody that's listening in that may, again, be struggling? Because I think you said it all, but I want to give you opportunity. Do you have any final words you want to say?
No, I actually, sis, had just kind of poured my heart out. I appreciate your platform, and I do. I just want to encourage the whole family that's listening tonight. You know what I'm saying? That we all go inward, draw on the word that's in us. Right? We're all ministers. We're all pastors, and whatever it is in us, whatever little bit we got, right, might just be enough to help the person next to us. So I encourage us all and uplift us all in prayer.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. I appreciate that. Is there anyone else that's listening in that you have some words of encouragement or maybe even just concerns that you want to share? Maybe you have insight. You know, a lot of times we see things, and I want to thank my brother because he gave a different perspective. I mean, he poured out his heart, but he gave a different perspective, and I think that was great. And I'm sure there's others listening in on tonight that have maybe other perspectives. Maybe they see things from a different way. You know, sometimes we could get caught up in what's going on in the world, and we forget that this is a fallen world, that it is sin. You know, that sin is the reason that things are in the condition that they're in. So again, if that is you and you have a word, maybe you have a scripture that's one of your favorite scriptures that helps you to get through in troubling times that you want to share with the listening audience. I mean, I got a whole lot of scriptures that I could give that helps me when times get rough. So if you do, if that's you, then please dial one on your dial pad. We are coming towards the end of our show, and I just want to, again, provide the platform so that people will have a place to be heard, or people will have a place to have a voice. You're not alone. You know, you and others are struggling to identify with what's going on. You know, what's going on in the world? Where are we at? How do we continue to go through? You know, there's a lot more that I'm sure is going to happen as we start narrowing down here in the earth. We're going to probably begin to see a lot of things taking place. How do we stay strong? How do we stay connected to our source, which, of course, is God? So if nothing else on tonight, hopefully, you know, these are things that either provoked you to thought. If not provoked you to thought, maybe you just, if nothing more, to let you know you're not alone, that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And because we are having this human experience, it's an experience. We're going to experience everything that being a human has to offer. You know, Jesus came down. God would not have to come down in the flesh, but he did that, and he had a human experience. He bled like we bled. He weeped like we weep. He showed emotions. He showed anger. He showed pain, you know. So he had to have a human experience, and yet he was without sin. So just think, we're having these human experiences, and we were born into sin, and we're having human experiences, and so we're experiencing everything that it means to be a human. So I want to encourage somebody who may feel like, hey, you know what, I got so emotional, or I'm starting to feel kind of, you know, be angry or hate. You know, don't let those things consume you, but know that that's part of the human experience. That's, you know, that's part of the soul, the things that you're going to, you know, experience in your emotions. You're going to experience them. That's part of it. The good thing is that you're a spirit, that you're spiritual, that you're a spirit housed in flesh. So because you're a spirit, As long as you're feeding your spirit and you continue to feed your spirit, then you're strengthening your spirit. So when those human experiences come about, not going to say that they're not going to come about, but when they come about, then you could get your power, you could get your sense of comfort, you could get what you need to get past those experiences through your spirit, because your spirit man is built up. If you're not feeding your spirit, if you're not spending time with God, if you're not spending time in His Word, then it's going to be so easy to be overcome by the cares of this world. It's going to be so easy. It really takes work not to get caught up. Amen. So again, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight. Thank you for bearing with me that this was not the normal platform, the normal teaching. And I just want to thank you for bearing with me on tonight. Thank you for your continued support. This subject matter, as it pertains to processing the pain platform, is a done subject. And I just would say one last thing is that I will challenge those listening in, the believers. I will challenge you to pray and just really seek God and how He would have you personally to play a part. My brother said, you know, his thing is that he's going to, continue to love on people within the, people, period, but within the Black community, that he's going to continue to bring the good news. You know, God may be telling, God told him that, but God may be telling you something different. Maybe, some of you may be attorneys listening in and have, the knowledge in that area. You may know about the laws and legislation. If you know that, maybe that's your call to this, that you could bring Christ into those situations. Some of you are ministers, pastors, apostles, bishops, whatever. And, wherever God is telling you, just be obedient to whatever God is telling you in this situation. What do you need to do? And I'm going to do the same. I'm going to really pray and ask God what would He have me to do? Because I don't want to be, I don't want to just be seeing things happen, get upset because something's happened. I don't want to be a part of the problem. I want to be a part of the solution. So my prayer is going to be asking God, what can I do within my own community or within my sphere of influence, should I say? I want to ask, what can I do in my sphere of influence to educate and to empower and to encourage the Black communities around me, the ones I have access to, that what can I do to encourage them so that they won't have to get caught in the crossfire, so that they won't have to keep making the same mistake, so that they'll know that they're the righteousness of God, so that when they're praying, they can trust and believe that their Father who is in heaven is covering them, that they know that God, that they belong to God. And so I'm going to keep praying that prayer, and I ask you to pray that prayer as well. And again, I just want to thank each one of you for tuning in to tonight's episode. Know that you are loved and appreciated. Have a good night.
kingdom's